The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And then picking it up at chapter 3, verse 1. "The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." And it goes on to speak of the fall, the curse upon the land, upon the difficulty in childbirth and everything else. But I want to pick it up at verse 21. "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." I'm going to read something else alongside that, but hear the word of the Lord. "I have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" Take a moment to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we love to hear the words of our Saviour. We love to hear that declaration of truth, a truth that does indeed set us free. And we come believing upon his words, believing on your word, and the promises that you make to us. As we sang in that chorus, Lord, we cannot earn your love. We cannot in any way bring anything to the table, only our sin. But we thank you that your Son, our Saviour, has dealt with that for us at Calvary. How we bless you that we can come boldly and confidently into your presence to worship and to adore, and indeed to pray and bring our petitions, requests before you for the concerns and the needs of the hour, for our world, its troubles, for our friends and their trials. Lord, we bring to you these things on our hearts and minds. Lord, you have said that it's all right to do that we are not to hide these things away. And thank you that we can indeed cast our cares upon you bring to you what makes us anxious, what stresses us out. Lord, we thank you that you uphold us, that you lift us up. Your everlasting arms are around and underneath us. And indeed, not just us, but our brothers and sisters in Christ, up and down this land and across the nations of the world. Lord, there is not one that you do not know about. You know the hairs on our heads. Lord, you know, as one sparrow falls to the ground. Lord, you know what's going on in our world. You know the pressures and persecution of your people. And we cry to you in these difficult times and difficult days. Sustain us more than that, Lord. Lord, bless and build your church even through these trials and troubles. Help us in our own community, in our this part of the world, Lord. We're hearing much of knife crime and other disturbing, Lord, criminal activity. Lord, we're hearing of the world having no answer to these problems, legalizing troubles and problems somehow to get the crime figures down. Lord, when what is needed is a touch from you, a new heart, a new life, a new mindset, a new way of living. Lord, Lord, break into hearts and lives with your grace, we pray. Do new things amongst us and through us in our daily lives. We look to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for that wedding that will take place in this place on Saturday. We pray, especially for David as he leads that and speaks your word, that, Lord, there might be a harvest from it, that there might be a turning to you in that amazing setting of love one for another. Lord, may your love really pervade the whole of the service, and Lord, be particularly in David's words. And Lord, speak by your spirit to the couple getting married, but beyond, to family and friends as well. Lord, for other things going on, Lord, in our lives, Lord, comfort those who need your comfort. Bring healing where healing is needed. Lord, reach out, we pray. Touch, help, give guidance, give wisdom. Lord, you know how we are. We are foolish sheep at the best of times, prone to wander. Oh Lord, again, bind us to you with your grace. Keep us, good shepherd, close to you, hearing your voice and being guided and led in every step that we take. We pray, Lord, for, Lord, this community. We pray, Lord, for our neighbours and friends, particularly those outside of your kingdom. And Lord, we just ask that you would so work in us to work through us to those around us. Bless, Lord, I pray, your word to our hearts. Again, forgive us our shortcomings, our sins, our faults. May nothing hinder us. May nothing separate us one from another in fellowship. And may nothing hinder us now from hearing your word. May you be glorified in what's said. And may you be glorified in our obedience to your word in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hinted at, and you've picked up a little bit in the choruses and hymns, I want to speak about freedom this evening. Freedom. In fact, June may become a freedom month with Father's Day put in as well. But how free are you? How free are you? As some of you know, and if those of you who have got daughters who've been married, you know that it's an expensive time, isn't it? And just recently, a few weeks ago, I finally finished paying for my daughter's wedding. Right? Okay, it took a bit more than I had to start with. She didn't want an elaborate wedding particularly, which I'm very grateful for. But I reached a point where that was, you know, the debt was paid off. And then the day after, I was told I needed 4 new tyres for my car. And I just thought, is there no end to this? When can you be free from this? One bill after another. We live in the free world, or we're supposed to. But how free is it? We live in a country that's in the process of ridding itself of the shackles of the European Union. Because we want to be free from that. We don't want the red tape. We don't want the money going where it's been going. Though I'm all happy to leave, don't get me wrong on this. But will we be freer? Will there not be other restrictions? All this talk of trade wars and everything else. You know, it's just a mess. We live in a world where protesters appeal for civil liberties. Now again, you know, it's in one sense a good thing that people can protest when things are not as they would like them to be. That's part of the free world. But then there are certain groups that seem to be listened to more at the expense of other groups. So, for example, with all the speak on abortion and all the rest of it, you know, who's speaking up for the unborn child? We're free. Free to travel. But then there are so many restrictions. The terrorist threat. Are we really free? And then physically, as we're getting older, restrictions upon our physical and mental attributes. Wear and tear. Free? And then, of course, perhaps more importantly for us this evening, beyond that, the issue of Christian freedom. We're free to practice our faith, and we're here this evening to do so, to a point, but under laws of toleration, well, we find our faith curtailed, don't we, in an ironic sense, that we can meet here, but if we went elsewhere, we might be in trouble. How free are you? How free are we? What is freedom? What's it all about? You know, there's been great speeches, hasn't there? You know, Martin Luther King and the like. Free at last. Free at last. But what is freedom? How do you define it? Do you know it? What's it meant to be like for us in Christ? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We read, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So clearly it's part of the Christian life. It's on the agenda. It's spoken from our Saviour's lips. But what does it look like? Well, I read to you from Genesis 2 and 3. Because within Genesis chapter 2 comes the first use of the expression free. Freedom. The Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree. I'll read that verse again for you. The Lord God commanded the man, you are free. Now that sounds crazy. That sounds, something's not quite right here. That's how the world today would see it. How in the world can you have a command to be free? Surely to be free is to be commandless. Well, before I get onto that, let me just backtrack a little bit and see that freedom is a gift discovered in caring. If you were with us this morning, David was speaking about serving and sacrifice. And there's a sense in which, you know, tonight's message, if you get nothing else, is that freedom is found actually in serving. Serving God's purposes. And this mention of freedom to Adam in the very beginning was in part, well, more than in part, as he cared for the creation that God had made and given to him. It says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, sometimes it surprises people, but that verse is pre-fall. God's intention was for Adam to work in the garden before sin came into the world. You know, work is not a dirty word. Word is not a sinful activity. that we've had to do because work became more difficult because of sin. But here, in the perfection of Eden, the Lord took Adam to the garden to work and take care of it. Prior to sin's impact, before the fall. There's a reminder there that God made us, and God knows how we work best. Working within God's creation was always God's plan. Adam was given responsibility. You see, some people see freedom as an escape from responsibility. But that is not freedom. You hear people say, oh, I haven't got a care in the world. Usually with sarcasm, but I haven't got a care in the world. As if I didn't have a care in the world, I would be free. But Adam, in his perfect state, had care and responsibility. You are free, the Lord God commanded him, to eat from any tree in the garden. We're not robots. God has given us free will. And we know Adam and Eve choose the wrong. They choose to listen to the serpent, to Satan. They lose their freedom. But freedom is not, as I say, an escape from responsibility. Some see freedom as life with no restrictions. Not so. Some say, well, if I just had more of this or less of that, I'd be free. But freedom is not found in the amount of choices we have or the resources available to us. That just brings confusion, not freedom. Adam could eat from a vast array of trees, except one. That was the Lord's command. Adam was free. Free to choose which tree. Adam was free to choose whether or not to obey God's command. The bottom line in all this is that simply this, is this, that freedom is found in man's relationship with God. That's where freedom is found. Now, of course, sin separates. Sin takes us away, restricts us, restricts our access to God. And you've got that bit at the end of chapter 3 with the cherubim guarding the tree of life. Now, we can look and see that with hindsight as a gracious act of God. He did not want Adam in his sinful fallen state stuck eternally because he's eaten from the tree of life as well. It was bad enough he'd eaten and knew good, the knowledge of good and evil, but to eat from the tree of life as well, he would be stuck in his sin. So God guarded the tree of life. But Adam and Eve, through their choice, their free choice, became a slave to sin. Freedom was lost. They were cast out of God's presence, separated, their sin separated them from God. And of course, all descendants of Adam, that's you and me, we're slaves to sin. That's how we are, from birth. Rejection and rebellion against God are in our DNA. How gracious then is God? How gracious is our God? I read the little bit where it speaks of the fig leaves they put together. And I read the bit where it says God took skins, provided skins. To do that, he would have had to kill something from his creation, make sacrifice from his perfect creation to cover them. And of course, those skins were a clue to the ultimate rescue plan as he gave his perfect son to clothe us with righteousness now and forever. He provided the skins and he guarded the tree. He did the things he needed to do at that point. And as we heard and were reminded of this morning, before time began, that already the eternal plan of salvation was set in motion. Jesus coming into this world, God the Son, to give his life for the sins of the world. But in that setting of creation, in that setting of here is the Garden of Eden in all its perfection, there was a freedom for Adam. A freedom that he lost because of sin. God didn't just give skins to wear, but he gave his Son to save us. That we might have freedom, a gift discovered in Jesus. What an incredible passage John chapter 8 is. It has a lot of difficult bits around it, so you may think I've just cut into where I wanted to go and come out straight away. I have, because of what is around it. But just wonderful texts, wonderful verses that speak of the freedom that Jesus Christ came into the world to make possible. John records Jesus' words about the truth, there in verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said that to the Jews who were believing in him. They had God's word. And within this book, from cover to cover, page to page, the truth of who Jesus is revealed. It might be an obscure passage that's speaking about the sacrificial system. It might be an obscure passage that speaks about some king you've never heard of. But priests and kings and prophets, they're all leading up to the Lord Jesus, our prophet, our priest, our king. He said to them, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to these words, you'll be set free. It wasn't their obedience that set them free, but their faith in the obedience of Jesus, the one who'd come amongst them as the suffering servant who we heard of this morning, the Messiah, the King. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, as we've said, and we know, we live in a world that is throwing out what Jesus has said, God's word, discarding it, leaving it in the corner of the room to get dusty. Well, that is a choice that is being made by the majority, but you and I, as in the minority, don't have to choose that way. We have God's word, that we might be free, that we might be kept free in following Jesus, that we might be kept free in developing and building our relationship with God. Through believing the truth, we are set free, because it's there we see our sin and then our Saviour, and in believing on him, we're set free. The truth. The truth is before us in his word. The lies are all around us in our world, but the truth is before us. The truth speaks of the Son. The Son who sets us free, through whom we can be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, Jesus says. Again, it's not something we can do ourselves. It's nothing that these Jews could do through their own law-keeping activity. No, through faith and belief in Jesus as Saviour, Deliverer, and Rescuer. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. The book tells us that. We can see that as we look around in our world. Through him, we're saved from our sins. We're saved from ourselves. because this book tells me that as a Christian I'm crucified with Christ, died to myself, and we're saved and being saved and will be saved on the final day. The truth of this book underlines all of that for us. It's all through Jesus, the sacrifice of God's Son. We have the truth, and through believing on the Son, we have freedom. And by the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, Paul tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In Christ, the veil that separates man and God is removed. We have access to God. We come this evening to worship. We come boldly, confidently. Not, you know, with the slight chance of, no, the Lord is here. And we can draw near. But it's not just that we have access to Him. He has access to us by His Spirit to change us to be more like Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, there was no freer man, that's the English, than the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you know, He was free in every way, in His life and ministry on earth. Now again, note this, He wasn't free from responsibility and care, far from it. His mission was the greatest responsibility known to man and involved sweating drops of blood in Gethsemane. So how was He free? Well, He was free because of His perfect relationship with the Father. That life of prayer and dedicated service gave Him a freedom. Of course, our Lord's life was a simple life. Didn't have a mansion to live in, drive around on a fast donkey or whatever. He had nowhere to lay His head. Again, so what we have and what we don't have might ease life, but it won't give freedom in life. Freedom comes in that relationship with God, with the Father. And Jesus had that perfectly. How hard then, when He went to the cross, in the darkness of those hours, Father turned away from Him. How hard was that moment, those hours on the cross? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. As He spoke the truth, as He Himself died on the cross to set us free, as He did what He did in the power of the Spirit, there was freedom. There is freedom for our Saviour in everything. And so if we're in relationship with Him, then we too can know this freedom, whatever the circumstances around us. We might be like Paul and Silas in a prison cell. Yet there was greater freedom in the hearts of those men than anybody outside of that prison cell knew at that time. Let me just remind you, had it beautifully reminded to us this morning, and particularly coming to the table at the end of the communion service. Through Jesus, we are free from sin and the guilt that goes with that. Revelation 1 verse 5, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. How incredible that here we are tonight, just a small gathering, but through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a blood-bought people. And not just any blood, the blood of the Son of God shed for us. Again, in the Old Testament, you can read how blood of the sacrifices covered things, but now this blood cleansed us through and through. Jesus' blood has cleansed the sins of those who believe once for all. Through Jesus, we are freed from sin. Yet in Romans 6 and verse 18, there's a very shocking verse. It says, you have been set free from sin. Hallelujah. And have become slaves to righteousness. Free from sin. Slaves to righteousness. But that's not hooray, oh no. That's hooray, hooray. To be a slave of righteousness puts things right for us with God. It's part of the complete work of Jesus for us at Calvary. Yes, our freedom leads to slavery, but our master is the best master ever, isn't he? And what he asks of us is the best for us. He is our righteousness. He shares his life with us that we too can be righteous. Our master is righteous, and so are we, his servants. We're free from sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. I'll put another way, we're free from sin, but free to serve. There are a number of verses in the letters that Paul writes, and we've heard a little bit of the DVD we've been watching on a Tuesday night of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And in Galatians 5, for example, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. The way to stay free is to serve one another. Be busy in your freedom with one another. Because the minute you sit back with your arms behind your head on your deck chair in the freedom, basking in it, is the temptation for the sinful nature to get in. Rather serve one another in love. Peter puts it a different way. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Free men, free women, because of what Christ has done. Servants of God. Free to serve, free to care. Living responsibly. Back to Adam in the garden, the way God wants it to be, in relationship with him. Working out what he has given to us in our lives. See, most people, ultimately, in this very selfish world, think that freedom is a selfish thing. That's all they know. At last, time for myself. Now, that would sum it up, wouldn't it, in a nutshell? That would be most people's idea of freedom. Now, there is need, you know, for recreation. There is need to take some time out. But freedom is not to pamper self, but to serve others. You remember the 70s sitcom, wasn't it? Are You Being Served? Do you remember that? They don't make them like that anymore. We're very thankful they don't make them like that anymore. There used to be a character within it, Mr. Humphreys, I think his name was. He used to say, I'm free. They worked in a, if you didn't know what I'm talking about, they worked in a department store. A few years' time, I'm going to have to explain what that is, I suppose, with these things. There are not many of them left. But it was a big department store, and customers would be meandering around, and they would be behind their counters. And his punchline, or his phrase, was, I'm free. And what he meant was, I'm available. You can come here. I'm accessible. I'm ready to work. And I thought, well, are you free? Are you being served? Not are you being served. Are we serving those outside of this place in Jesus' name? Are we available? Are we accessible? Because freedom means availability, doesn't it? Making ourselves available to others. I'm free. Again, thinking of the life and ministry of our Lord. He was never busy, was he? Never too busy. Never away from the people. Never saying, just stand in the queue. Come back at 3 o'clock. There's none of that in the Gospels. Now, I know he was on the move constantly, which probably helped a little bit, because the crowd had to follow him to keep with him. But he was available, accessible, even in the very evening hours, the late hours of the day. They came to him to seek his help. He was in prayer to the Father. The power of the Spirit was at work. Well, the same Holy Spirit dwells in each one who believes, revealing Jesus in us and through us to others. Are we free? Are we available, accessible, not just to the man in the street, but to the Lord, that he might use us in daily situations as he guides and leads our steps? How free are you? If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. It's a reaffirming word on the end. Indeed. Know tonight what Jesus did for you on the cross has the stamp of indeed upon it. You are free from your sin if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed. But are you free to serve? Would you put your stamp, say, indeed, Lord, I want to serve you. I don't want to ignore your truth. I want to live by it. I want to be free. I don't want to ignore your Spirit. I want to know his power. Power within the cares and responsibilities of life. As I say, I think people in the world around us without Christ, well, for them, freedom is beyond their reach, isn't it? Christ is the freedom. He is the one who gives the freedom. So they kind of make up this fantasy world, what life could be, but never will be. But you and I don't have to live and play that way. We play a different way. We have cares and responsibilities. Many of you have many of them. But God's Spirit enables, doesn't he? He speaks of fullness of life. He speaks of freedom. Freedom to serve. Freedom to be who God wants us to be. That's what Adam was made for there in the garden. It's not a Garden of Eden out there now, is it? The weeds, the thorns, and everything else of the sinfulness of the world are all around us. Yet if we're in relationship with God through Christ, with the power of his Spirit, we have that relationship to know a freedom, even in the midst of the pressures and the cares and the responsibilities. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we sing that hymn to you, we reflect upon its words and the challenge of them. We present ourselves afresh to you at the end of this day, going into another week. Lord, you're challenging us to serve, even sacrificially, as we heard this morning. Lord, we want to do that. And we pray that you would help us to do that. Forgive us when we chase the freedom dream of this world, when we can know the freedom reality in you. We just present ourselves afresh to you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Equip us to be your servants, to do your work in these coming days. Lord, we thank you that you are such a wonderful master, so gracious, so good. You want the best for each of us. We know that. And so we just reaffirm our trust in you and pray that you would just guide us in your ways. Slaves of righteousness. That's exactly where we want to be. On paths walking with you this week. So keep us close together, but keep us close to you. In our quiet times, yes, but through the day. In what we do and what we say. Even in what we think. Oh Lord, again, use the freedom that we experience in heart and life to win the world that is so enslaved in its sin. Lord, may those around us see there is a different way, a better way, a better master to know and love and serve. So hear us, Lord, we pray. We humbly just present ourselves afresh to you. I'm free, Lord. I'm available. I'm accessible. Make us free, keep us free, and use our daily lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.